department led by the Director General and all of his lieutenants. Yeah, it's a real army now. You ready for anything? Most welcome, and from the office of the Deputy Minister, also most welcome. Welcome, Honorable Khatebe.
And
Kalyan. And Bumluan and Maila. And Sope and Kenya. And myself. Can we get apologies, Sir?
You sir, I did not receive any apologies, sir.
I have two.
But there's always an apology of Honorable Holomisa.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I have two apologies, Mokolapa and Bergman.
Sorry?
Mokolapa and Bergman.
Did you? Oh, Zahir?
Just apologies from the Deputy Minister. He's in the ICTS Cabinet Committee meeting this morning. I think there was a problem with our emails. That's why the apology didn't go through.
What is this thing? ICTS?
It's the it's your international relations.
Trade. ICTS. Were you talking to an apology?
No, I said
Did you?
Bergman is at home because his child is having an operation, and Mokolapa is in Germany doing some training.
The DM Mfeketo was supposed to be here. She may be joining in the process. As soon as the commitment she's in is finished, we will update the committee as and when the date was, because seeing that the DM Landers was going to be in the International Cooperation Trade and Security Cabinet Committee, it was thought of that she could try to be here. And the minister is not able to make it to the meeting itself due to previous hearing.
My apologies. Yeah, thank you very much, DG. Please, once again, convey our message to the minister that at a time of her choice and convenience, she must find time to have a discussion with, political discussion with the committee on any subject internationally, you know. There are times when we'll call the minister for the details of their work in the department, the BRRR, things like that, operational matters. But there are political discussions we want to have. Why things are happening the way they are happening in Germany, in Lesotho, in BRICS, you know, a better political context at leadership level. Because the members of this committee can't just, as well as Kuluma, I'm running short of what I want to say. You see what is happening inside the department. We get that from the deputy ministers, from everyone else. Ne? But there are details, political details, from the point of view of the heads of state and government in the continent, in certain branches, Europe, your other things. We need that depth of understanding and context of understanding as members of parliament who are in the IR. And then, Mr. Minister, I feel comfortable. Every time a minister, including this one, makabizwa a committee, it's ngathuzogwetjwa. Uyasizwa isizo. Ugweba yawazwa. Ya manje thina sifuna usihlale nje kuxoxo yaba uxoxo spirit is be free, but of course uma kunama issues vele sizombiza sithi no manje why I think that ngoba sawe senze oversight yethu umsebenzi wethu. Ya manje nini ukukhuluma naye, mina ngiyakhuluma naye mara yeah, okay. Can I hear you on the adoption of the agenda? There's only one item. Akbar Galian.
Thank you, Minister. I would like to include the program for the remainder of the term and details about the study tour as well.
Okay. Honorable Khatebe.
Water for Secretary. Was Muti agenda adopted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
DJ, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Before we do a presentation, I'd just like to introduce the team accompanying me here and to appreciate the fact that we were called to present two quarters at a time, which is the first of its kind, but also it has saved us time, but it also assists us to track our progress in time for the compilation of the annual report. We have tried to congest the information more so that the indicators are the same. What will be different will be progress. So I have with me, perhaps I should start with the acting DDG for corporate management, Ambassador Joyini. It is a position I used to occupy until last month. She is already a DDG, responsible for diplomatic training and research development. She is part of us today on account of the fact that she has to deal with matters from the corporate management, which are in Program 1. Then we have the ARF Secretariat, Head of Secretariat, Mrs. Dineo Matlako. And then the usual people that we always bring, the CFO is next to me, Mr. Ramashao, and then Mrs.
I could say
it must have been, it's related to that. Says that she happens to come from an area where they translate it to Matlako. Then Ms. Dolores Kose, she's the Chief Director in our Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. And then she always presents that to the committee. And then we are accompanied also by the head of the Office of the Deputy Minister Lenders, as Minister Lenders is deployed to the committee as well. Honorable Chair, she's just behind me, the Chief Risk Officer, Mrs. Mutabi Mutukanele. She's also with us here. We have a good gender balance, including last week when I was the only male. We're getting there.
But this was the only
male. Honorable Chair, at the outset, let me take this opportunity to thank members, honorable members of this committee, for giving us the opportunity to present our performance report and that of the ARF for the third and fourth quarters of 2016-17 financial year, which will be presented in twofold, the financial part as well as the performance information part, and then the ARF. The agenda, I don't think it is short, because in that line it carries a lot of information. Honorable Chair, in your report dated 25 October 2016, the Portfolio Committee made a number of recommendations on how the department can further strengthen its management and administrative systems and processes. To this end, the department commenced with implementation of the recommendations as follows. There was a reference to training, and we can report that to date, training has been conducted in collaboration with the National School of Government on government accounting, accounting made easy, including budget and cash flow management. And we are still to do a training, further training to the officials in finance on modified cash standards, standard chart of accounts, as well as mission account analysis. With regards to mission administration, a new curriculum is being revised for more efficiency in financial management by those officers that have been posted to missions, at which a lot of findings are actually being made, which is the reason why there was a sense that this lack of capacity, that it is much more pronounced there, because, as we said, we send people with general knowledge. Now we have to focus them on the actuals that are in compliance with the PFMA. And then further than that, work has already started to ensure that the skills audit process is being conducted. I can safely report that preliminary assessment work has been finalized and the skill audit process will commence soon, because it has to be preceded by that. Relevant committees, task teams have already been put in place, so that it is a much more a broader thing that we want to give effect to the observation of the committee's recommendation on matters of just doing this skills audit. For the two matters that were the basis of our qualification in the last 3 years, what we have done so far with regard to identification of heritage assets, we have, in collaboration with National Treasury, developed an assessment framework on works of art, which was utilized to identify heritage assets at the High Commission in London, with a view to using it elsewhere, because London is the place where almost 70, if not 80%, of our heritage assets are located. And we believe, in as far as identification, which was the finding, we have done that. There might be issues here and there regarding heritage assets, but it could not be to the extent of us not having done so. And we will see, as this current cycle of audit is concluded, and how much we may have done there. So this was done, we were supported by an expert from the National Museum of Cultural History called Itsong in Pretoria, where the expertise was very handy in us looking at all the characteristics as identified in the modified case standard and the accounting manual, to see if they really meet the definition, etc. And we are satisfied that that has been done. With respect to physical verification of assets, we have used an existing a system that we just tweaked its functionality to have an asset management system. to assist us in compiling a credible asset register. Honorable members will notice that while this is work in progress, but we are satisfied that what we have done, or what is this system is helping us with, we eliminate a lot of problems that we have experienced in the last 3 years, and we hope that it can really help us to deal with this thorn for the which has afflicted us for the last 3 financial years or audit cycles. With regard to LRP, which the very same report referred us to, we do have an LRP review task team in the department. It was set up and it has started working, benchmarking, because as honorable members will know, locally recruited personnel are appointed in terms of the local law, which means the 126 legislations of these different countries. So you don't have a one-size-fits-all. However, what we found common, which is what this committee has done, is that we will be in a position to draft or to develop an LRP manual which will address mission-specific conditions of employment for each one of our missions abroad. And when completed, this manual will form part of the framework for the contract of employment of LRPs. As honorable members may notice, that it is one of the findings that the Auditor General will find that in this particular mission, the contract was not there, or it was like this, etc. So we have found a way in which we can streamline it so that we can attend not only to that which was formed by auditors, but that which will help us to have a standardized manner of having this contract. So we hope that by December 2017, the manual would have already been developed. With regard to the initiative that was a recommendation by the committee to liaise with the South African Reserve Bank and the National Treasury on mitigation options to address the challenges brought onto the department by foreign exchange fluctuations, that meeting, as we reported in the second quarter, had taken place, and then the outcome of that meeting was that National Treasury will revise the budget exchange rate in line with the performance of the economy for the MTF, because as we said, reported then, we would have used the basis of 950 at the time when the rand was stable, but then when it shot up, we had that gap. Now that this has been taken care of. But for the current financial year, as honorable members will note, the department has been provided with additional funding to augment the budget, although not exactly what we requested. We had requested we recorded a projected shortfall of 1.3 billion. We were given 950. Which means our over expenditure will be very minimal as a result of that intervention, but also due to the cost containment measures. While we may not have contained it 100%, I believe it can be just by 0.001. The last part that is part of the BRR recommendation that we like to report back before we present our 3 and 4 quarters is the issue of the department's risk management unit structure, which we have capacitated accordingly as per the recommendation of the committee. And currently we have the chief risk officer, as we do here, assisted by 3 managers and 3 deputy managers. So this we believe will enhance our risk management capacity to the extent that we will be able to identify, mitigate, and treat risks as they come into the department. There was also a reference to a property acquisition strategy. A draft has been prepared, and then which is being used as a pilot project for the acquisition and development of facilities through the private sector, which we have initiated, and we hope to conclude We are in the process. For the New York, we are using this framework to see if this if it can work. Honorable members will know that currently Terco is having a building through a PPP arrangement, and that building will be that arrangement, if we utilize it to where we are permanently fixed to ensure that we utilize the same modality, we'll be on our way to dealing with a property acquisition. And mindful of the fact that the bill will in future, if passed in the way it is recommended based on the inputs and what the committee will decide, that will find Terco to have already mastered an art of management of these properties, as the law will then give us that full power, which is currently delegated to the department by a gazette that was issued in 1991 by the then Minister of Public Service and Administration. To conclude, Honorable Chair, that with regard to the investigations that the department has embarked upon after the annual testing of the annual report, we can report safely that we are reaching a stage where now that we are having the DDG who will specifically handle matters of the investigation and the implementation thereof, the problem was that the speaker, the one who is speaking, was conflicted in the sense that he has had to do one for the branch, which is to look at to conduct investigation or oversee investigations, and then recommend to oneself what should be done. So the investigation has been concluded, and then since the DDG has started this month of June, we are hopeful that the recommendations and what should be done, including the studying of the reports themselves, will be done, and then in the subsequent period and months, we will be able to obviously, as part of our accountability responsibility, to ensure that we report duly to the committee what was found and what we have done. By this, Honorable Chair, I'm sorry to have taken your time of presenting. We had felt it wise to be able to account on what is a product of the PRR report, then it will be BRR report of the that was issued after our presentation of the annual report, and that going forward we should be able to track progress so that this honorable committee is given updates on what it has done in its oversight. May I be given an opportunity to then defer to my colleagues, starting with Ms. Kotze, to take this committee through the performance information part of both quarter three and quarter four, after which the CFO will then talk to the financials of the same period. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes, DG, just before, I think we should really commend you, you and the department and your colleagues for coming to the committee and explain progress and processes regarding the BRRR, what is being done about that. There were a set of recommendations, and the recommendations of the AG on risk management, on asset management, etc., etc. And it doesn't look like it's all of them, but the principal issues, in fact, the department is dealing with them under your leadership. As they say, a new broom sweeps clean. We don't know how long it will sweep clean. And the progress matter on the CFO, and I really agree with you. You really have been open-minded. Yes, while you were an acting DG, you had to compile the report on behalf of the branch and report to yourself. No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I think I'm happy with that progress. Members? Okay, proceed. Proceed, Mrs. Kotze.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, DG and colleagues. So then, if we then look at quarter three and four, we will then start that we're looking mainly on program two and four, as program one basically referred to our support programs. And I will highlight some of the issues in program one and as it relates to the mandatory targets that we've set for ourselves, and then we will look at the financial information. We have used also a rating system, and we use the same rating system that we do when we report on the outcomes, where green means that it's been achieved in its totality, yellow means it's a 75% plus, and then less than 75% is then a red rating. If we then look at our target in terms of our alignment for our demand management plan, this is one of our national treasury requirements that in the beginning of the financial year, you put up a demand management plan that then plans your procurement for the year. And then all procurement that you need to do, there needs to be according to the DMP. So we've achieved for quarter three and four 100% alignment. Then also an issue that has been tracked not only at the departmental level but also at the FOSSAT level is the processing of invoices, so that we support our SMMEs, particularly that we aim and endeavor to pay our suppliers within 30 days. For quarter three, we're looking at 99% of our process invoices paid, and in quarter four, we're at 86%. And basically, one of the reasons why we've only managed 86 is that we've received a high volume of invoices towards the end of the year. We made it difficult then for the payment of all of them. However, our annual, when we come back for our annual report, we will then show that we're in about 93, if I'm not mistaken. Then in terms of our human resources, once again, these turnaround times are set by the Department of Public Service and Administration, that you need to handle your grievances within 30 days. In quarter three, we had three grievances that were lodged and they were handled within 30 days. And in quarter four, we only had two grievances that were lodged and they were also handled within 30 days. Then in terms of our vacant post, we report on this twice a year. So in quarter three, there would have been no target set because we're looking at a 4 month turnaround time. So for quarter four, we had 97 posts that we advertised, and two of them were filled within the 4 month turnaround time. When the CFO will present, the CFO will give an indication the challenge that the department currently has to operate within the ceiling that has been set on the compensation of employees. So that is one of the reasons why we didn't meet the turnaround time of 4 months for the other 95 in quarter four, but they have been filled, just not within the period prescribed. Then in terms of disciplinary cases, we're supposed to finalize your disciplinary cases within 90 days from initiated. Once again, because your 90 days sits for a full quarter, we only report twice a year. We had one disciplinary case, but it was finalized after 90 days. And it was basically due to unavailability of your panel, investigation officers, and so forth, but it has been finalized since. Then in terms of training, we had a target for 25 training programs. For quarter three, we had 24 of the 26 training programs implemented, and for quarter four, we had 19 programs implemented, and the additional five were carried over from the previous preceding quarters. Our stakeholder engagement, this what happens here is that our research unit bring various stakeholders together to then talk about various international developments, and then from that they draft policy briefs for our principals. So the three targeted engagement in quarter three was on the EU cooperation. There was a roundtable discussion on South Africa-Pakistan relations, as well as South Africa's foreign policy, strengthening it in terms of marine economy. This particularly is important in the light that we will be taking over the IORA chairship, and where the focus on the IORA chairship is to then see how we can work on the blue economy particularly. Then in quarter four, we had two targeted engagements. This particular is to reinvigorate South Africa's leadership role in the UN Human Rights Treaty Monitoring System, as well as the International Relations Strategy for South African Small Business. Then also in terms of the research papers, we've produced a research paper for each one of those quarters. We'll come back on the detail on those. That is our program one, which is our support. And if we then look at our overall rating, is that we have achieved most of our targets. Then if we're looking at program two, now program two refers to our international relations. And this is particularly with regard to the work that is being done at our missions in terms of economic diplomacy. And our political work relates to our bilateral engagement, whether it be through a structured mechanism or whether it be through a high-level engagement. Now, what we've done is, before we report on the targets itself, we just give a high-level overview of how the work translated into achievements for the broader government. So, for example, if we then look at our economic diplomacy work that has been done, it has resulted in an increased sales of manufactured value-added exports by 61.9 million. And then by the end of the financial year, it was 4.16 billion. And it can, some of it can be attributed to the work that has been done at our missions where they do product promotion of South African products. Also, they having engagement to talk to see if we can source foreign direct investment. And of course, what we can report is our total for the year, there was a potential of 50 billion FDI that is being sourced in the pipeline. Then our missions also do tourism promotion, and of course that translated into the 10 million for the reporting period. And of course it's not only about people arriving but how much they spend, because we're looking at economic growth, and we can report for the year January to December 2016, because Statistics South Africa only release their figures on an annual basis and not on a quarterly basis. That is why we could only report until December. So that is the impact or the results. Now I'm going back to what have we set for ourselves. So in terms of our political targets for Program 2 is that we would have 14 structured mechanisms and 3 structured mechanisms for quarter 4. In quarter 3 we only managed to do 12 out of the 14, and then in quarter 4 we did 3 out of the 3 that we've targeted for ourselves. Then the high-level engagement. The high-level engagement here, in this instance, talking about whether it be a state visit, whether it be a ministerial, deputy minister, deputy president engagement with a country counterpart. We had 6 out of the 14 for quarter 3, and we had 9 for quarter 4, and we've achieved the 9 for quarter 4. For quarter 3, we only did 6 of the 14. It was a little bit difficult. It was towards at the end of the year. We will relook at the way we set our targets, because this is the period October, November, December. December tends to be very slow because it is a slow period. So we've relooked at our target setting to not target as many for quarter 3, because it gives the wrong impression when we come and we say we haven't, because our stakeholders become unavailable during that time. Then in terms of the economic indicators for our bilateral work, and this particularly is work that's being done at the missions. So number one, we target trade and investment. These are platforms that's been utilized by the mission, firstly to do exhibition and promotion of South African products and services, where they would then engage various structures and exhibitions to promote South African products, inviting South African manufacturers to come and do exhibitions on their products. So of the 28 targeted ones, we have managed, or our missions did 45 trade and investment seminars, and of course we're looking at making sure that it's in line with what we want to achieve as it's set up in the NDP, the 9-point plan that we have, the sectors identified in IPAP, as well as Operation Bakisa, and we report on that to the DPME as well. Then for quarter four, we've targeted 20, and then we have managed to do 30. And here particularly, we're looking at agro-processing, which is one of the sectors identified in the 9-point plan. We're looking at the automotive sector. And of course, we know that we have to do a little bit more work around that, especially in the current climate with the fact that the DGM is pulling out as well. We need to also do additional work around it. Then engineering, ICT, and particularly renewable energy also as it's being identified in the 9-point plan. Then our Chamber of Commerce, our missions target engagement with Chamber of Commerce. Now, the idea is that when you engage with the Chamber of Commerce, you would have to identify what are the possible trade barriers that's being set for South African products. So they will then identify those, then when they engage with the Chamber of Commerce, to see how they can address those trade barriers in order to improve and increase our exports to various countries. So they've targeted 48, and then they've only managed to do 32 in quarter three. And then in quarter four, from the 20 targeted, there were 41. So it offsets the not achieved in quarter three if we then look at, so if people then negotiate the dates, that, listen, we can't do it during December, but we were willing to see you in February, and that's why we had overachieved in the following quarter. What then also happened is the missions then identify, for example, we know that health is one of our national priorities, we know that education is our priority, then they would identify those various ministries in those countries to say that, well, let us go and engage the Department of Health of that country, let's go and engage the Department of Science and Technology, so that we then look at a technology and skills transfer between the two countries. So of the 18 targeted, they've met with 31 various government departments to improve cooperation between South Africa and those relevant countries, and the same in quarter four, they've targeted 10, and they have managed to meet with 12 of them. Now, then another sector in terms of our economic diplomacy, because we're very committed to play our part in the economic growth target that we've set for ourselves, identify potential high-level investors, people that have deep pockets that can invest in South Africa, and then have a conversation with the understanding that your first engagement is not going to result in the money. It is a relationship that you need to set up. So you will identify a potential investor, you will go and meet with them, you'll go back and meet with them, you'll build up a relationship, and it will take some time before it actually then translates in the foreign direct investment. So from the high-level potential investors and importers, and this is particularly also to see if there's a market for South African products, we've targeted 30, and we've only managed to do 23. And for quarter four, we've targeted 22, and we've only met 17. However, if we can note that although quarter three wasn't met, when we come back with our annual report, we will see that the annual target has been met. For tourism particularly, this is important because people in the various countries would not know about South Africa unless we tell them about South Africa, and because we have the footprint. And what our missions will do is they will meet with various tour operators, they will get material from Brand SA, SA Tourism, and they will distribute and they will have the engagement, see if they can look at packages. They will work with some of the regional offices of SAA as well to promote South Africa as a tourist destination. So if we look in quarter three, we've targeted 20 and we managed to do 32. And in quarter four, we've targeted 12 and we've managed to do 18. Then that's the bilateral work. Then also in program two, we have regional integration. And this is particularly the work that we're doing in SADC with the understanding that we will be chairing as from August, I think. Yeah, we will be chairing SADC as from August. Then for quarter three, our targets, our three targets that we set, we did not achieve because the SADC ICGLR meetings, the ministerial meeting and the summit didn't take place, as well as the ministerial task force on regional economic integration. However, when we look at quarter four, we engaged with the Council of Ministers. We also had a double Troika summit, and that was particularly in terms of preparation for the Lesotho elections, also to discuss the region, as particularly siege with the idea or the situation in the DRC and the implications thereof, and those meetings, the double Troika as well as the extraordinary summit, then discuss the security issues in the region. Then when we move over to Program 3, now Program 3 is cooperation, so this is our global governance. So it's global governance as well as continental affairs, so this would be AU related, as well as what happens then on the multilateral arena. then it is a little bit difficult when we set this one, because we set the targets for the high-level engagement. We can only choose some of them. For some of them, we will send a delegation from head office. For some of them, we will then have to utilize our ambassadors and our counselors at the missions to engage and negotiate on South Africa's behalf. The reason why we table this is, or we target this, is the NDP is quite clear. For South Africa to remain an influential global player, we have to be around the table. We need to negotiate. We need to influence. We need to see that we can influence the outcomes of those meetings. So for quarter three, we've targeted the 33rd session of the Human Rights Council. Of course, there are quite details in terms of the statements we've sponsored and the resolutions we've sponsored and the decisions that we voted in favor of and the ones that we've abstained from. However, what is important to note is that South Africa contributed to a groundbreaking achievement by developing countries for the establishment of a mandate for a special rapporteur on the right to development. And the developed countries weren't too keen. So we would want to see this as an achievement, especially when we know that our developed countries would not necessarily want to support such. Then with regard to disarmament, nuclear security and non-proliferation, we have reported previously that our ambassador in Vienna is currently chairing the IEA board, and because we also take the work around nuclear security very important, and we know there's another summit coming up, and we would want to negotiate also some issues at that level. However, for the period under review, we have participated, negotiated, and at the various conferences. It was the review conference on biological weapons, the conference on certain conventional weapons, and very definitely the convention on biodiversity. For quarter four, and some for international cooperation, here we're looking at the 34th session of the Human Rights Council and also looking at the various statements we've made there. Then the support that we've given at the World Economic Forum Summit that happened in January, and where the key messaging was to attract investment. So we need to support what happened. So we're taking that key messaging back from there. We make sure that at a bilateral mission level, we continue to do that. Then in terms of continental cooperation in quarter three, it was the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. And then in quarter four, this was the time when we had the landmark AU summit, where we had the new chairperson of the AUC that was elected. And I'm sure that the committee received a briefing on the outcome of the AU summit of January. But we're about to prepare for the AU summit that is now happening the end of June up to the 4th of July as well. And then, of course, we're grappling still with what are the implications of the readmission, not readmission, the admission of Morocco as a member to the AU. Then also key areas, key decisions that we're taking on the continental free trade, as well as the report on the institutional reforms of the AU. Then if we're looking at still international cooperation, one of our sub-programs is also the work that we're doing with regard to our South-South achievements. This is particularly organizations of the South, and here we're looking at the IORA, we're looking at BRICS, and also the Africa-Arab Summit that was held. And then during this period, it was the 8th BRICS Summit that took place as well. Then in quarter four, we had the IORA Leaders Summit, and this is where the IORA Action Plan was adopted as well. And as I indicated, the focus is on the maritime safety and security as well. Then we also had a BRICS Sherpa and a SU-Sherpa. So that is our international cooperation. Then Program 4, which is then our public diplomacy and our state protocol, and this is also once again the support that we have and that we do to make sure that not only the support that we give to our principals at these meetings, but also the engagement and making sure that our domestic audience is informed about our international achievements as well as what we're doing in the international arena. So we're looking at our speeches for our principals, we're looking at the communication strategies. For quarter three, we had media briefings, we had one PPP instead of the three, but then if we look at quarter four, we then had four out of the targeted three public participation programs that was chaired by our principals. Then media statements, we're making sure that we issue various media statements, so we issued 59 in quarter three, and 4:42 and 4:45, and then of course various opinion pieces as well, and we're looking at in 3:15 we had 4 of the 2, and then in 4:45 we had 3 out of the targeted 2. With regard to state protocol, very important, we are bound by the Vienna Convention in terms of, and then of course we have the domestic law, the Diplomatic Immunities and Privileges Act, that then also as a responsible state, what immunities and privileges should be given to our international visitors, diplomatic visitors that is. And then, of course, we do work through the state protocol lounges, and then we're looking at the people that we facilitate through that. We're looking at our 10 international visits for our principals, and then also the work that we do for provincial and local government. So we have 23 in 3:15, and we had 60 provincial and 9 local government elections that we've done. Then in terms of consular assistance, and this one always brings some discussion at this meeting, when we're looking at the work that has been done by our missions in terms of the consular work, and we have during 3:15 attended to 175 of our consular services cases, and then 170 in 4:15, and the legalization of documents, this is documents that we legalize for South Africans that want to travel abroad and that would need, for example, the education certificate, whether it be a matric certificate or so forth, and they would need it for work that they would need to do overseas. So we're looking at, during this period, 3:15 it was 11,000, and in 4:15 we legalized 13,000. Honourable Chair, that is our performance information. Now to see that how we've utilized the money that resulted and made those achievements possible, I will hand over to the CFO. So thank you, Honourable Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, and good morning, all members, and thank you for the opportunity once again to have a take on the presentation. Honourable Chair, in terms of the financial report, we have 2 quarters, which is third quarter, which is the expenditure until the end of December, which is the third quarter. The fourth quarter is the expenditure at the end of March, which is basically our reporting financial year. So in the report that we have in front of us, Honourable Chair, is that we just want to make some amendment on the date on the third column. It's supposed to read as expenditure on the 31st of December 2016, not 2017 as it's been indicated there. So the report will read as follows. Chair, the program...
Sorry, what specific part is that?
On the third column, on the heading, it's supposed to be accumulated expenditure on as on the 31st
page.
Of page 19.
Oh, yes, I find it.
Yeah, so it should be reading as expenditure on the 31st of December 2016. So we're not yet in 2017. Mm-hmm. So we made a mistake there. So in terms of the expenditure, Honorable Chair, the appropriation for the program, we had a budget for the whole year, which is 1.4 billion, and the accumulated expenditure, which encompasses the expenditure for the third quarter. If you look at the third quarter under program one, the expenditure in terms of actual is 301 million against the projected expenditure for 360 million. So that is the expenditure that we incurred, but we had budgeted for 360 million. So the reason for that, Chair, is that the appropriation bill for the adjustment estimate was only approved in February. So whatever we have revised based on the approval, we're not having enough money to then draw from our vote in order to incur that expenditure. So there was basically low spending, not because the department had no capacity to spend, but based on the process that were not concluded before the third quarter. So the plan is that the third third quarter expenditure will be informed by the adjustment estimate that we had requested. DG mentioned that we requested 1.3 billion for the foreign exchange rate, but we only received 950 million as the adjustment. But the money was only available in March, which is basically in the fourth quarter, which then had an impact on the spending. So program two, if we go to international relations, we had projected 765 million as the budget, as the projected expenditure for the month, for the third quarter, but we then spent 879. So you'll see that on program two, there was an increase as compared to program one. So the reason of the increase was based on the foreign exchange rate. So the rate, the budget rate that we used to compute the budget was now no longer relevant in the spending. So the budget was 950 to a dollar, but the spending in the third quarter was basically 12 rand to 13 rand a dollar. So we had to then accommodate. So the money that we had budgeted for in the program that doesn't have exchange rate had to then service the areas that we have then exchange rate problems. Similarly, in program three, in which we had budgeted 152 million in terms of what we would draw, but the actual expenditure is lower in terms of 129 million, which then offset the overspending on program two in terms of the spending. And then the public diplomacy, in terms of the activities, as we've seen that there are a lot of achievements that were recorded in the performance in the third quarter. So we had projected the expenditure of 62 million, but at the end of the quarter, we then reported expenditure of 78 million. So the area that is got low spending in terms of the program is program five, which we had projected to spend 32 million, but we only spent 72 million for the whole quarter. 70 million, sorry, for the quarter three. Mm-hmm. So which is basically the expenditure that we pay on behalf of the membership for South Africa in the international organization. The organization that are due in this period is the Commonwealth, which are the payment that we made, and few payments that we make towards the United Nations, where we got the membership. Mm-hmm. So overall, Chair, in terms of the total spending, we then reported an expenditure of 1.4 billion in the third quarter against the expenditure, the projected budget for 1.3, which is over by 2% in terms of the foreign exchange rate. So this is the money that we didn't have, but we managed to then service what it was due. So overall, in terms of that, the expenditure accumulated until end of December was 4.5 billion against the approved budget or appropriate budget of 6.8 billion. So this is the expenditure for the third quarter per program. So I've already talked to the reasons in terms of the expenditure, which were to do with the volatility of exchange rate and also not receiving the appropriation or the funds that have been appropriated within the same quarter that the expenditure is supposed to be incurred. So then the next slide just give a detailed breakdown of expenditure per sub-program, which is basically program one for ministry, departmental management, as well as the other areas of financial management. So in this program, there are no variation that can't be managed, so you can see that the expenditure is within the approved budget, and there's been low spending in terms of the budget overall of 9%. So there was no any high spending on that particular program. And similarly, we then have the same presentation per economic classification, which is, shows that the spending is within the budget, which under compensation of employees, we had planned to spend 100 million, and we then spent the same amount of 100 million, which is, these are the expenditure that are predictable like any other department. Goods and services, This is where we then put some cost containment measures of services that we require from head office. We had a budget of 198 million in terms of what we plan to draw, but we spent 235 million in terms of that area. And the other part that we've spent more is program payment of capital asset. So these are the two projects that we concluded in the 2016-17 financial year. So we had a project for Malawi, where we constructed the Chancery and official residence, as well as Dar es Salaam. So those are the projects that we concluded in terms of the handing over. So you can only pay when all the inspection has been done to verify that the service has been rendered. And then if we move to program two, which is basically our core business in terms of the international relations work that we provide in that. So if we look at the sub-program, we've got Africa as a branch. The expenditure for the third quarter was 260 million against 187 million, which we had projected. As I indicated, the expenditure is got variables. That one is the foreign exchange rate in terms of what we need to accommodate in that area. Similarly, in Asia and Middle East, we had an expenditure of 198 million, budget projected, then we spent 239 million. Americas and Europe, we then had a projected budget of 149 million, we then spent 140, and Europe and America, 236 million, and the amount for actual is 238 million. So the variance between the program, the sub-program Americas and Europe, in Europe is basically on how we then spend our budget in terms of the leases. You'll see that in Africa we've got 47 machines, and majority of those machines we don't own properties. And the rentals are payable in advance, 1 year in advance, six months in advance. But in Americas and Europe, we then pay our service, our leases on an annual basis. And the increase is manageable. So the property that we rent in Africa, the leases are not manageable because of the scarce of property that will fit our requirements. So overall, in terms of the accumulated expenditure on the 31st of December, so we then recorded expenditure of 2.8 billion against the appropriated budget of 3.8 billion. So this is what we have spent, and already there is higher spending on the program for 14%. As I indicated, we then anticipated the foreign exchange rate, as we had requested 1.3 billion, but we only received 950 million. So that is the expenditure for program two. And then the program three, we then move to international cooperation in terms of the sub-programs. We've got global system of governance, continental cooperation, south-south cooperation, and north-south dialogue. In terms of the actual expenditure for global system of governance, we had spent 78 million in terms of the record expenditure against a budget of 80 million. And the continental, 34 million against the budget of 47. And South-South Corporation, we spent 790 against the budget of 1.8 million. So this is the smaller sub-program in this. And we, under North-South Corporation, we then spend 15 million against a budget of 22 million. So this is the how then, this expenditure is after our midterm review, where we review our spending against the budget and also look at the cost containment measures in order for us to remain within the budget, especially when we deal with the issues that are not necessarily funded when we finalize the budget. Program 4, We then look at the state protocol and public diplomacy. We have got two sub-programs, public diplomacy as well as state protocol. And public diplomacy, we then recorded the expenditure of 22 million against the projected budget of 17 million. And state protocol, we recorded expenditure of 55 million against the budget of 45 million. So overall, the spending was then exceeded in the third quarter by 25%, which is the expenditure is 78 million and against the budget of 62 million. The total expenditure on the 31st of December is 199 million against the appropriated amount of 252 million, which is within the budget. So the high expenditure in terms of the state protocol is the international visit that we facilitate, which is basically incoming and outgoing, which is basically based on the program that we need to manage in terms of our availability of our principals. So the expenditure comes after we have already incurred. So it's not necessarily that when the visit happens, as you look at the performance information, that in terms of the target, in the third quarter, we've got a lower achievement, but we've got higher expenditure. Because the expenditure that we record in the third quarter also comes from the second quarter in terms of how we then finalize. Now the program 5, which is our international transfers, which we in the third quarter we managed to then pay membership of 17 million that we've reported already against the budget of 23 million. So that's the activity that we reported under that program. Then if we can move to the fourth quarter, Honorable Chair, in terms of the final quarter for the financial year 2015-16-17. So under Program 1, the appropriation is 1.5 billion, and in the fourth quarter, we had a projected spending of 364 million, but we then spend 625, which is high expenditure in that quarter. We'll give the details, the reasons for that high spending, and international relations, 3.7 billion as the final appropriation. In the fourth quarter, the projected budget is 925 million. We then spend 902 million. International cooperation, we add in a final appropriation of 487 million. And the projected budget is 111 million, but we then spend 103 million under that quarter. Another program. Public diplomacy and state protocol, the appropriation that we allocated the department 267 million, projected budget for the fourth quarter 61 million, and then we spent 72 million. So basically, in terms of the public participation program that we are looking at, and the international transfers, which is our program 5, we had an appropriation of 788 million. Projected budget to be spent in the fourth quarter was 589 million, and we then spent the actual appropriation 583 million. So overall, Chairperson, we then have to report that our actual expenditure at the end of March, which is the reporting period, is 6.8 billion, and the final appropriation is 6.8 billion, but we then recorded an overspending of the budget in the final budget of 6 million in terms of what we had budgeted for. So which will then explain the details, what are the reasons for the overspending on that. If you look at the next slide in terms of the fourth quarter report, is that overall the spending was high in the fourth quarter, as I indicated that the fourth quarter is when we then receive the allocations. So we had to revise our spending in order to align to the available cash. In the period that we are reporting, Chair, we never incurred any overdraft for facility. So we spend the money within the voted fund in terms of what we have then collected. The expenditure that we've then indicated represent 11% higher than the projected expenditure. And the variances are indicated that the construction of the chancery and three staff accommodation in Lilongwe as well as Dar es Salaam were completed in the fourth quarter. And we had to pay the final payments in terms of that, which then resulted in the higher expenditure, as well as the spending on the pilot project, which is New York, which we are finalizing in terms of the acquisition of land. And the land in New York, Manhattan, doesn't come cheap in terms of the scrapers that you buy a small land, but you also need to pay for the airline in terms of what you want to build in that market. So that's how the market airlines. Yes, high-rise building to pay for airline, for even for the airlines. Right. For you to have a view. Yes, you pay for that. So that's how the market works in that environment. Yeah, so in terms of the program one, the fourth quarter report, in terms of the total, we had projected to spend 364 million, we then spent 625. So this is the explanation that we are referring to say we then spend more money on the capital assets, which is basically the New York as well as the ICT migration project in terms of our MPLS as well as the storage for the goods that we need to manage. So those are the areas that contributed, but the spending is within the budget program. So in terms of program two, quarter four, we then had a budget for Africa, Asia, and Middle East. America says our sub-program, including Europe, in terms of the budget. So we had budgeted 283 million for Africa. We then spent or reported spending of 277. The budget for Asia and Middle East is 235. We then spent 221. So in terms of that budget, I don't know, we made a mistake there to have another fourth program of Europe. So in terms of the overall spending of this program, Chair, we then spend 3.7 billion as compared to 3.75 billion. So the spending is within the budget in terms of this program. So which we then manage to work around that. Program three, similarly, we then spend within our budget, which is basically we had a budget of 111 million for the fourth quarter. We then spend 103 million. So the spending under this program was contained within the approved budget. So the one that we have challenges, which is program four, is Program 4, we still spend within the approved budget, which is, in terms of the quarter, we had planned 61 million, but we spent 72 million. As I indicated, there are a lot of activities that we did in that year, but we then had to do some environment of funds in order to contain the expenditure within the program, which is Program 4. So the area that we have challenges, Chair, Honorable Chair, is the transfer payment, Program 5. So Program 5, as we indicated in the past, that we've got new scale of assessment from the AU following the 25th Assembly of Heads of State and Government that we hosted in Sente, which would require that we then need to have an assessment of self-reliance. So in terms of that area, it requires that our assessment contribution revised accordingly, which then included that we need to take more of the budget of the AU with other four countries, which we require. And in addition, there's a levy that we are required to pay in terms of the export that we trade with Africa. So which that matter is still under discussion with National Treasury on how do we then deal with the modalities. But we had to pay for our assessment. We used to pay an assessment for $16 million for the AU membership. So in 2017, which is after the Assembly of Heads of State in Addis in January, our contribution to the assessment is $25 million. So which we'd have to honor in full, not partially. So which now you see that we had spent more than what we had budgeted for. So five countries in the AU, they pay 15% of the budget of the AU in terms of its operation. So what they've introduced now is also the peace fund in terms of how we need to then contribute to that. So we're still discussing with Treasury on how we need to manage that in terms of the budget. So overall, Chair, if we move to the summary, to say our report at the end of March, which forms part of our annual financial statement, the final appropriation under Program 1 is $1.5 billion. The actual expenditure that we've recorded under that program is $1.5 billion, which shows a variance of $6.7 million. So it means that we have spent 99.6% of the appropriate budget. International relations, we then had an appropriation of $3.7 billion, and we then spent the whole amount in terms of what was remaining there. We then vied to other programs in order to defray excess expenditure that we planned, which is within the approval of the accounting officer in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. The international cooperation, we then had an appropriation of $481 million. We then spent for the year $462 million, and we then have a variance of $19 million. So all these variance, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, were planned to say in terms of our planning, we then vied this money to transfer payment, because we consider that as a priority in terms of our image and stature, especially the work that we do in the African Union. So that's the plan that we do. But unfortunately, as you can see the location, we have services that are done in missions in terms of the spending, which uses a different platform. We're not like any other department. When come 31st of March, we have an actual expenditure sitting on our basic accounting system, which is PAS. We then have to wait for a month for the expenditure that has been incurred for March in missions abroad, so that you can able to then get the final expenditure. So that doesn't really talk to the reporting as required by Treasury, to say we can only do vied after, we can't do vied after March, but we still have to finalize, because we'll not be in a position to record the actual expenditure whilst our expenditure is outstanding. So that is the part that we're still discussing to Treasury, to say there are commitments that we must meet, which we pay, but the reporting can only come after a month, after we've closed, which then we're not able to then close the overspending under Program 5 International Relations, which will then report an authorized expenditure of $333 million. The net effect in terms of the overall is $6.4 million, which is less than, just less than 1% of the budget. So which is basically how we manage in terms of the spending. Because all these transfers that of expenditure that we process in machine abroad, they are subject to foreign exchange rate because they are incurred in foreign currency. We are not in a position to know, to determine how much is the rent value before we can close. So that is the part, Chair. The other part that we want to bring to the honorable members and the chairperson is the issue of the expenditure ceiling that we referred to earlier in terms of our compensation employees, which is the expenditure per economic classification. The appropriation for 2016-17 is 3,071,372,000, so which is our expenditure ceiling. But you will note that the actual expenditure that we incurred at the end of March is 3,115,625,000, which we have then exceeded the expenditure ceiling by 44 million, which we have requested Treasury to then allow us to move funds under goods and services that we have identified through our effort to say we will not be possible to remain within the expenditure ceiling in the current financial year because it requires that we need to lay off other staff. So for that process, when we lay off, we then need to then pay also termination benefits, which increases the expenditure on compensation employees. To say in the period we have laid off in terms of value 34 million that we've paid to the local recruitment personnel as our process to reduce our expenditure going forward. So the process will not necessarily normalize within a short time. It requires a long period in terms of that part. So I wanted to bring to the attention to the members to say indeed, based on this report, we have exceeded the expenditure ceiling, but we had put measures in order to mitigate that. But the expenditure ceiling in our environment is also subject to the foreign exchange rate, because the foreign allowance that we pay to the staff that are abroad, as well as the salaries and wages that we pay for the local personnel, they are in foreign currency denominated. So you then have foreign exchange rate fluctuation. So if the rent performs better, then chances are that will remain within the expenditure ceiling. But if the rent perform in a manner that doesn't give us surpluses, we then have to operate outside the expenditure ceiling. So that is the risk that we've been discussing with Treasury. To say the adjustment is only done once. Any expenditure that we incurred in the third quarter and fourth quarter will not have any remedy in terms of managing that particular aspect. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Here we submit.
Yeah, thank you very much, CFO. This one could be out of order. You know, I was thinking about something as we were talking about international transfers and the payment of assessments, et cetera, whether we should or should not ask the department to check for us what the implications of being in a junk status and what the experiences of other countries is and was. That when you are in a junk status, you have to pay the same amounts for your membership, say the UN and the rest, and your banks, for instance, as a country. I think it may have happened also to Brazil, are also underrated. And they are still members of the banking community. Now, all of these things, let me put it this way. At a political level, nothing will change for the country in terms of the issues, its engagement with whoever. But the financial means, what will it mean for that. You know, if I'm not putting it the way I want to put it, but that investigation, if it can be done, and at some point, and then we look at it, even if we're not a DTI or we're not, but our capacity to do certain things, because we are involved, for instance, in peacekeeping missions, and they are very necessary for the continent, because you must keep peace for development, for stability, and your financial standing has gone down. In the same way that you were talking about how the rand is affected by the rand-dollar relationship, but now it will be more affected under a junk status. That investigation, if it could be done at some point, then we will have a discussion. It will educate us. Okay, members, a presentation has been made. DG, you wanted to add, did you?
Not honorable chair. I was just saying we submit before the ARF presentation.
Okay. Members? Honorable Khadebe?
Chairperson, I don't know, because we tend to always forget the ARF presentation. Why not give it a chance to present so that we take a holistic approach when coming to change the city?
So is Kokela. DG? ARF?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I'll hand over to Mrs. Dineo. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG. So the ARF presentations are done separately for quarter three and for quarter four, so we'll start with the quarter three presentation. Looking at the ARF performance report for quarter three, starting with the PERFIS performance indicator, percentage of requests responded to. In quarter three, we didn't receive any requests for funding. And looking at the next performance indicator, number of ARS structures and processes convened, there was no ARS advisory committee meeting held during that quarter due to scheduling difficulties and due to the process of appointing new members to the advisory committee having been delayed. Moving on to the next performance indicator, democracy and good governance. We processed 186,000 for SADC election observer missions. And moving on to the next indicator, socioeconomic development. We processed payments for the rice and vegetable project in Guinea-Conakry. Capacity building, we processed the last tranche for the African Ombuds Research Center, which is being managed by the Office of the Public Protector. Cooperation with other countries and partners in various areas, we processed the payment for the Cuba Economic Package of $28 million. And percentage of active projects monitored for compliance with the concurrence received. All payments were made within the compliance with the concurrence that was received from the Minister of Finance and the Minister of International Relations. Percentage of Project Oversight Committee reports for active projects. 80% of Project Oversight Committee meeting reports for active projects. So we had oversight report for the SADC election, the Cuba Economic Package, and the African Ombudsman Research Center. And the rice and vegetable project in Guinea was deferred to the fourth quarter, where we were going to do a closeout for the project. Percentage of closeout reports, there were no projects that were closed in the third quarter. Looking at the ARF financial report, as at 1 October, our cash in the bank was $2.4 billion. The appropriated funds were 31,000, and the committed funds for existing projects is $599 million. and the approved grants for 2016-17 was 57 million. And just to mention that 10 million of that is for a project for Western Sahara in solidarity with the people of Western Sahara, as it was an issue that was highly raised during the budget vote. So we are in solidarity with them and we are committing financial resources to assist the people of Western Sahara. And our accumulated surplus as of 31 December was 2 billion. And moving over to the fourth quarter report, the percentage of requests received and responded to. So in the fourth quarter, we had two project proposals that were processed, and both of the projects were approved. And the first project, the training of Burundi diplomats, will happen in September. The second project, humanitarian assistance to South Sudan, I actually just landed this morning from Juba because we are in the process of negotiating with the government of South Sudan on how the project will be implemented. And what we also found interesting was most of the humanitarian assistance that is required is actually in Uganda. Uganda is hosting 800,000 refugees from South Sudan. So they are taking the bulk of the responsibility of assisting the people of South Sudan. And what we also found commendable is that Uganda is the only country in the continent that actually gives land to refugees. So they don't put them in refugee camps, they actually give them land, which we find very commendable. Moving on to the next performance indicator, there were two committee meetings that were held in the fourth quarter, and the reason for the variance is we had to hold an ad hoc meeting to consider an urgent request, and that was the humanitarian assistance to South Sudan. Percentage of active projects monitored. All projects in the fourth quarter complied with the concurrence received and the approved project plan. And for socioeconomic development, we processed payments for the rice and vegetable project in Guinea-Conakry. So we have closed this project, and it has been a successful project. And I guess we'll talk about it more when we do our annual report. But I think we will still see expenditure that will come through, as the CFO had explained, that our expenditure comes a month later. So in the first quarter of the 17-18 financial year, we will still have expenditure for March that will come through for this particular project. Cooperation with other countries, we processed the payment for 42 million on the Cuba economic package. Percentage of active projects, all projects complied with the concurrence received, and percentage of project oversight committee meetings, 50% of project oversight committee reports for active projects. We did a project oversight for the rice and vegetable projects in Conakry as we were closing it, and the Cuba economic package will close. The agreement ends 20 November this year, and we are hoping that the project will then be closed at that particular time. Percentage of projects with closeout reports, the rice and vegetable project in Guinea-Conakry was closed in quarter four. And looking at the financial reports, the cash and equivalent as at January 2017 was 2.4 billion. And the appropriated funds were still 31,000, and the committed funds that we have, the funds that we have committed to existing projects, 510 million, and our accumulated surplus as at 31 March 2017 is sitting at 2.1 billion. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, we submit.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My apology. I was being whispered to. Yeah, there you are on the ARF report. Let's start anyway. Just indicate the page, indicate the whether it's the performance report of the ARF or that of the department. Honorable Kalia, your hand up.
Thank you so much. Just the ARF, if you can just, I didn't pick up what the project was for the Western Sahara. I can't seem to see it here. What amount is allocated and what is the nature of the assistance? I'd like to know what that is. Then, on page 5, the African Ombudsman Research Center, where is that situated? And what are the implications for South Africa in terms of staffing? Do we have staff there? Who heads it up? I'm not so sure. Maybe I missed it in another presentation, but I'd like to know where it's situated, who heads it up, are there South African staff there, and what's the budgetary implications. Then to go to, this is for the CFO, the subscriptions, is the main problem for South Africa in respect of subscriptions to the AU. And then we get ourselves involved in amounts that we haven't budgeted for. Now, I hear you say that some countries pay theirs and other countries don't pay theirs. And then there's this request in terms of, I'm not so rich, you're so rich, you know. I mean, is there a long-term solution in place, or are we going to continue carrying the burden? Is there a kind of a plan? Then with regard to the severance packages that you are talking about, it's 80-something severance packages, how is it calculated? Is it calculated on an expat rate, or is it calculated on the South African rate? So if I were to retire here, then I would not be having the benefits or the fringe benefits that go with the package as an expat. I'd like to know how that happens. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kalyan, for your observations. Honorable Khadebe, followed by Maila.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll go first to the input which was made by the DG on the issue of dealing with the heritage assets, with the help which they sourced from the cultural center in Pretoria and so on. Did it make any difference when coming to the quality of the report which you are going to have? Because now I've got the fourth quarter which must indicate whether we are going to have a qualified audit or not. So what is going to be our status thereof? Number two, Chairperson, on the issue of the Cuban package, in terms of the Cuban package, you said that there was no problem in terms of the IRF, and then this thing is going to close at the end of November. Is that November? Yeah, November this year. So what was the total package which was paid to Cuba? Because I can see that it is in terms of the tranches of the debt and the fourth one. What was the total package to what is the total amount paid on that package? And then what qualitative difference did it have on the people of Cuba? If you can get that. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Maila, you are noted, Honorable Rapote and Ken. You are noted. You are in the line.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And maybe let me commend the department for the report. We on the ARF. Well, I'm covered by Honorable Kalyan. I wanted to check on the project for Southern Sahara. Western Sahara. Yeah. So, but in the same breath, I would like to commend the department for being responsive, especially in the light that we have been hammering on the issue of Western Sahara. Now, somewhere on the ERF, a mention was made of the involvement of the public protector. I didn't quite get it. I would like to be clarified what is it all about. And then on the other report, there is something mentioned here of a round table between South Africa and Pakistan. So I just wanted details there. What were we dealing with? Was part of what was being dealt with the issue of the influx of the Pakistani in South Africa and the implications thereof? There was also the issue of the SADC ICGLR ministerial meeting and the summit, which indication was made here that we were unable to achieve the targets in that regard. Now I wanted to check who is responsible for setting the agenda here. Is it the department or is it someone else? Because if it's not us who's setting the agenda, then if we have this as our target, aren't we setting ourselves up? Because if we don't achieve, whereas we are not responsible, then it's something else. Well, Honorable Khadebe has already covered me on the issue of the audit outcomes. I wanted to check how do we, as we look forward, how are we seeming to be performing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable, my Honorable Rapport.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation. I think I'm going to ask the question in a different way. Especially, you know, we've been seeing the Auditor General being very unpredictable. And we even said that you should have, you know, continuous kind of meetings and engagement with the Auditor General. Especially on these issues of assets, because that is where we are getting a black patch most of the time. Can we be afforded, despite of what the DG have alluded, those specifics, DG, we want to hear, because we did hear them before that, yes, we had some engagement with the Auditor General. But when the audit report comes, it's another story. So are you really, really assuring us that we are not going to get our lips, you know, down? That's one thing that I wanted to check. I don't know whether it is a trick of Auditors General or what, but if you can afford us that you had a meeting and this is what was conspired in that meeting and all those things, because really that is what we pleaded with you, Sosiatel. And then on program 2, page 8, I'm going to go to program 2, page 8. I was just asking myself, you know, setting such high targets, 6 out of 14 high-level visits. Yes, we understand that December, it's really time for families and that. When I'm looking at this, it meaning that every month you have to have those kind of high-level visits. Is it different? So every month. So it's not a very high target. I think somehow, probably even ourselves, we didn't look at it, you know, very, very with the hawk's eyes. So I was just asking myself that, is this target not too high every month? Okay. On the issue of peace and stability, I think peace and stability is our hallmark. Page 11, peace and stability is our hallmark. So, here, on quarter three, who was supposed to, because the secretariat, they don't understand the urgency of this peace and stability. So there is something wrong with the secretariat. There's absolutely, I think those people really, if ever they're getting performance management, somehow, because that is our hallmark, DG. What actually went wrong there? And it is part of their performance, it's not the secretariat. Why they didn't really convince in meetings? That is irresponsible. That is totally irresponsible. I thank you.
You want to come back? Okay, then we proceed to Honorable Kenya. But while it is still fresh in my mind, I want to advise Honorable Raputi that I really didn't understand you when you were saying that our lips will be down until you said it in Sibeli. Then I don't saw one now. Now, be careful not to translate, African expressions into any other language. We were warned by one professor. He's an Afrikaner, and who knew Sibeli very well. Now, he said to us, Kasibeli, a good-hearted person, Munayo Kingu. But when you say it in Afrikaans, Iriman is a scum.
Yeah.
It means he's stupid. And, Now, when you said our lips will be down in English, you want to come back?
No, I see young ladies, if I see young women, I get excited with same hair, styles. You know each other here, but I don't know them. I'm sorry, probably when they were being introduced, we didn't get their names.
In fact, they were not introduced.
I think really we have to really welcome young women in the international arena.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for your intervention. Nibobani ke bosisi, ngamaduku. Amahle.
Oh, I'm Nakisani Jacobs. I'm a student at UCT doing LLB postgrad.
Doing?
LLB.
Okay. Most welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Molweni, igama lam nguNosihle Mngabisa, and I am a graduate student, LLB student at the University of Cape Town.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
English.
You very much.
Oh, CZ Parliament.
Space is like Kenya, man. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we'll come back.
Okay.
This is on news of food. Kenya. Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm not going to ask this question on the ARF, which Honorable Khadim has just asked, especially that I saw that process payment of 28 million for Chuba economic package, but. Yes, of course, I understand that there's also a package, an oversight, which is going to be conducted. Maybe we can get a full answer then. But I'm worried about the one committee meeting, which was the target, but not on the ARF structures. If you can just unpack what are the difficulties that make not to have that even one meeting? You understand that you say that the reason for variance is that of difficulties. Please just explain further about the difficulties you encountered not to have that one meeting in this quarter, in the third quarter. Coming to the presentation, noting that we have got reduction of goods and service budget reduced mainly on issues like operation leases, property payment, etc. I understand that you are still busy absorbing what I want you to listen. Noting that you have got that reduction of goods and service budget reduced mainly on issues like operating leases, the property payments. I understand that that is done to lower international aggregate expenditure ceiling. Also noting the fruitless and waste expenditure due to unoccupied chanceries and official residences with the department has got an obligation to pay even though they are unoccupied until finalization by the public works. Don't we have time frame for same? Because the problem to pay something that for something that you don't even utilize, I think that's why there is this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You pay, public works doesn't finish the program, and now the DECO has to pay just for those unoccupied chances. I think, to my understanding, there must be a time frame for this. Because we'll end up now, it will be just an ongoing process, carrying decimal for something that you don't even utilize. On the issue of US's AGOA, which I understand that AGOA is a platform for industrialization and realization and relations with EU for establishment of a joint infrastructure project, which is also at the advanced stage. Now, looking at that brief, new bank will serve as an instrument also to serve an instrument for the financing infrastructure. Is there no conflict when you talk about BRICS and talk about US, the SS AGOA? Is there no conflict on the two pertaining to this infrastructure? There's an underspending of 71.7 million in program 5. Yes, I understand you said that it is due internationally, it is due to it delays operationalization. Now, the problem I'm having is with SADPA. What is the real cause of delay on finalization of SADPA, which really causes this underspending due to this delay of this operationalization? Lastly, on pay program 4, you talk about overspending on state visits. That is my last question. If you say that there is overspending in those state visits, are there any visits that were unforeseen so that you can overspend because of those state visits? If they were foreseen, what message why do you have that overspending therefore? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kay. Honorable Pumblon, are you sure you don't want to say anything? And the bayang seat and a bone, man.
No, I wanted just to congratulate them on the good work they're doing. Mine was to say thank you, congratulations for the good work. I read this thing which was sent to me. I'm satisfied. Why came here?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mblona.
Yes.
Thank you. Honorable Raput, you want to come back?
No, Chair, I just wanted to check with the expenditure as the total as it was given to us, 31st March 2017, the 100%, one. What does it mean? Because it says 100%, one. On the expenditure, page 46 and total, all the expenditure. So what does it say to us? 100% comma one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On page 8 of the ARF, on the achieved targets, we say that there was humanitarian assistance to South Sudan. It doesn't indicate how much was spent on that. And then members were also asking about how much was spent on the assistance to Western Sahara, how much from the ARF. Now, the training of Burundian or Burundi diplomats, we paid for that. I find this very strange. I thought that if our training institute is in fact one of the best in the continent, these other countries, the government must pay for the training of those ambassadors. It should be the other way around. They should pay because an ambassador represents a country and represents the president. That's why they are appointed by president, not by ministers of foreign affairs or international relations. Now, you want to have a diplomat, must be trained in another country, and that country must pay on your behalf. But I think it's something that I will pick up as a matter for discussion in my party, in the IR party. And the other one was a comment on what the CFO was saying about international transfer, as a result of which I said what I said. Now, you were talking about the certain heads of state and government summit, or ADIS. Which dates were you referring to? Because in the institutional reform for the AU report, which was tabled by President Paul Kagame, that report was tabled at Kigali. And in that report, that review panel, which was chaired by President Paul Kagame, makes a shocking empirical weaknesses of donor dependency by the AU. Because I can't remember what page is that. I actually read that report a day or so ago as I prepared for my debate yesterday. He indicates in that year up to that year, somewhere he shows 87% of the money for the operations of the AU came from other countries. Then it goes to another year. Then it puts the money and then it puts the percentage. Just go and look at it. It's quite shocking. Then the report then says, if this organization, the African Union, is so dependent on other countries for its sustainability, it means Africa's sovereignty, the nation states, will be undermined, because those who are giving you the money will also tell you not to take certain decisions. In the same way that when you go and borrow money from the IMF or the World Bank, then they undermine your political economy, because they'll tell you, no,
even if your manifesto said you were going to do 1, 2, 3 for that. Now, with our money, do the following things. Those were their, are their conditionalities. And then this report then, Paul Kagame, then calls for financial sales sustainability. Now, I wanted to understand whether the CFO was then saying, after 29 January 2017, where this report was tabled and then accepted by the heads of state and government, then in Sentin later, or in Addis later, they then said, now we want to make the following determination, which must be paid by each country on a gradual basis so that we can offset this donor dependency. And again, it's a matter that must be discussed elsewhere. Because if we're not dependent on other countries in the in Africa are dependent on South Africa. We will pay quite a lot for that. And if we're not discussion, but the ARF is actually good intervention because it's soft power, as the former DG explained. But the last one, I don't see that we have given anything to Palestine from the ARF, and there's such a lot of money, $2 billion, and there has been a lot of challenges around the people of Western Sahara. Palestine. Whether there was no any assistance needed, humanitarian in terms of clothes or medicine or other interventions that could continuously assist them. The experiences, I'm sorry for the politics, the experiences of our own people who were in exile in this country know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the people of Palestine, how they depended for food from other countries, clothing, and many other things. So the people of Western Sahara and Palestine are actually in that kind of situation. And if there's any honorable intervention we can make, it is from the ARF to people like that, Western Sahara, Palestine. Those are not self-inflicted wounds. Akufani nokuthi South Sudan, they leave Sudan, then once they are independent, 2011, then they start fighting. Riek Machar, Salva Kiir, manje, I want to love, there will never be peace. Yeah, can we hear you?
May I just ask you a question before we hear the
department? Yes.
I quoted the Kagame report extensively yesterday in my debate, and when I referred to the fact that the dependency on the donors is so huge, and then the donors dictate how you make money and how you must behave. You howled at me, but that's in the report. So, and you said it yourself today, when you get the money from the donors, they say this is how you spend it, that's how you spend it. So why you howl at me in the speech? And then I'm quoting that a lot.
Thank you very much. No, but on a serious note, you actually went to town explaining this thing. And it is also there in my speech, one line, the same report. I think it's page 2 of my debate yesterday. But you actually explained it far more better. And it's a good observation that the report has made in terms of the percentages that it shows and all of those things.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Now, I wanted to say, because you are the presiding officer and you can't maybe respond on a lighter note, I want to preside and say, I want to remember it was a point of debate.
Over to the department.
I will hand over to my colleagues who are presenting, and I don't know the word that is used here. Sweep is what I speak of.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG. And thank you, members, for the questions. Yeah, this is the first time we've had so many ARF questions. So I'll take the first question, the African Ombudsman Research Center. So the African Ombudsman Research Center is a project of the Public Protector that was approved by the ARF in 2012. And a budget of 21.2 million was allocated to the project. And the African Ombudsman Research Change Center is chaired by the Public Protector of South Africa. So whoever is the public of South Africa is the chair of the African Ombudsman Research Center. It's a research center of the African Ombudsman Mediators Association, OAMA, which is an observer of the AU, whose mandate is to promote good governance on the continent. So the role of the African Ombudsman Research Center is to train African ombudsmen on increasing the standards of good governance on the continent. And the one question was, who manages the center? The center is managed by Aline Brooke, who is the former ombudsman of Bermuda. So she was appointed last year, August, as the new director of the center. And there's one South African who's employed by the center and one Kenyan. And the center is hosted by the University of KZN, so all the research is conducted by the university, so which increases the research output of the university. And the dean of the university, the law society or the law department of UKZN, sits on the board of the African Ombudsman Research Center. I hope I've clarified on that question. And the next question that I'll take is the Cuban economic package. So the total package that was given to Cuba was 350 million, and it was divided into three facilities. So on facility A, it was for the purchase of seeds in South Africa and in other countries. So for that, for facility A, there was an allocation of 35 million, and the remaining, and 4.5 million of those seeds were purchased in South Africa from stake heirs, and the rest were purchased in Europe as per the agreement. And for that particular facility, there's 8 million remaining. And the next one was facility B, which was 100 million for the purchase of South African goods. Of that 100 million, there's a 28 million balance remaining. The South African goods that were purchased were, one, tires from Dunlop, and two, it was plastic raisins that were purchased also from South Africa. So those are the two goods that were purchased under Facility B. And Facility C was a 210 million loan. And of that 140 loan, it was divided into tranche A and tranche B. Currently, we are processing a payment for the first tranche, which is 70 million, and it's for 63 million for the purchase of South African goods from Bell Equipment. So they've purchased six trucks that are used in mining from Bell Equipment, and we are processing that particular payment. So in terms of the agreement, it was extended till November 2017, and Facility B of the 140 million will only be utilized once Facility A has been paid back. So, honorable members, that's on the part of the Cuban economic package. And the next one that was the next question was on Western Sahara. So for Western Sahara, we have committed 10 million that will be given to the people of Western Sahara through the Red Crescent in Western Sahara, which is an NGO that's operating in that particular region. Currently, there's 155,000 refugees that are dependent on humanitarian aid provided by aid agencies, and those funds will assist with food and shelter. They currently use tents in Western Sahara. And the next question, honorable members, was on the issue of Palestine. We have allocated 10 million also to assist the women and children in Gaza. And that particular project is going to probably start in the next month. We were waiting for the presidential minister to conclude the agreement on the project. So we are expecting, so the next time we come here, we'll probably be reporting progress on Western Sahara, on the women and children of Palestine. So, Honorable Chairperson, we are not only in solidarity, we are also committing funds to the countries that we are in solidarity with. And I think the other questions will be taken care of by the DG and the CFO. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Honorable Members,
Thank you, Chairperson. I will then go to some of the questions that were raised at Durko. There were two questions on the SADC ICGLR. It's the secretariat of the SADC ICGLR that's responsible for setting the meetings. And yes, there's normally a calendar that is being issued by the secretariat a year up in advance, and that's why it made it easy for us to target, because we have a commitment to attend and participate at these meetings. However, due to development, if the secretariat then postpone or cancel it, then yes, it does then become a little bit of an issue for us. And that's why, in the reason for variance, we indicated the secretariat didn't set the meeting, which then answers the second question. It is not a Durko secretariat. It is a secretariat for this organization or for this association. Then there was a question in terms of program 2, page 8, the high targets, in terms of whether they're realistic. Now, because it is targets that are set, when the targets are set, and there's a process that goes, it will be in consultation with the presidency. So it is the president, the deputy president, the minister of international relations, as well as the two deputy ministers. So it doesn't only cover one person. It covers, at the moment, five of our principals. So it is in consultation with those officers when we set the target, and then it would be up to them to confirm those targets, which then happens, but it then gets influenced by domestic as well as international developments. So it is realistic because it is set by those offices for us as well. Then the question around BRICS and the US AGOA. No, it is not. There's no particular tension around that, because the US AGOA is particularly with regard to trade products for South Africa and the favorable trade that we have for some of our products to the US. So that is one issue. And then in terms of the BRICS, it is with regard to, yes, we're looking at infrastructure spend on the continent as well as in Africa. So the more sources of funding you have that you can approach, so having the BRICS Bank and then approaching them for funding on infrastructure is not necessarily a conflict with the agreement in terms of the AGOA agreement that we have. I think the rest of the questions are all in terms of the spending, and I will then, there's one question that I will then defer to DDG Juwini, and that was the roundtable discussion on South Africa and Pakistan. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. There's two questions I think I omitted. The first one is on how much funds were committed for South Sudan. We've committed 100 million to assist the refugees of South Sudan, and we are currently in negotiations with the government of South Sudan and with NGOs on the ground on what the South African contribution will be utilized for. Secondly, the training of Burundian diplomats.
Just clarity on that point. When the money goes, I heard earlier that the money was for for the other country, it was going to the Red Crescent. Now, here, who administers that? Who's accountable for it? Which organization? In South Sudan, that's the one I'm talking to.
Thank you, honorable members. As I mentioned earlier, I returned from Juba at 2 a.m. this morning. And so when we were in Juba, we negotiated with NGOs, with churches. Churches are currently doing distribution of humanitarian aid in South Sudan. And we also were negotiating with the International Red Cross that are both operating in Juba. Thank you. Thank you. And then the training of Burundian diplomats. Yes, to answer the question, Honorable Chairperson, the department will be paying. Will be paying for the training of the Burundian diplomats. And it's not ambassadors. It's levels below ambassador. It's the actual diplomats that work in the mission. And we fund that under our objective of capacity building. Part of our objective as the ARAF is to increase the capacity of African diplomats on the continent. And also to, it's part of our strategy to promote Agenda 2063 so that Africa has a common vision. And that will, and it also assists that when we have a common understanding of diplomacy, when we negotiate in multilateral forums, Africa can speak with one voice. But Ambassador Joyini will elaborate more on the project of training of Burundi diplomats.
Good morning, honorable members, and thank you for the questions. To pick up on the question of the Burundi chairperson, that this was as a result of a state visit that happened in 2011, where the state president of Burundi requested our state president to assist with the training. It specifically focuses on conflict resolution. We are known as South Africa in the continent to be good in the area of mediation, conflict resolution, and negotiations. And this is something that we are doing as the academy, the international school, for the continent. Recently, we've been focusing more on women, training women as mediators and in conflict resolution. And no, we do men and women, but recently we started focusing more and more because research proves that if you don't have women around the table when you mediate, the outcome is not likely to last. And just to add that this has really been it's part of soft power, Chair, but it is something that is really appreciated by the continent, members of the continent, and you will see that in future we will be coming to the ARF around how do we enhance the capacity of the continent around conflict resolution. The important thing for us would be to then be able to link it, to then say further down the line, what are the benefits for South Africa in terms of when the conflict has been resolved, how do we move on to the economic aspects and that benefits South Africa. So that's where the project of around training Burundi diplomats on conflict resolution and peace building generally. While I have the floor, Chair, let me talk to the roundtable. I am also responsible for the Policy Research and Analysis Unit. This is a unit that has been created to assist and advise the principals on foreign policy, but also the various branches and the head of branches. What this unit is able to rise above and look into the horizon, anticipate the future, whereas branches will be focusing on what they're dealing with there and there. But the unit is able to rise above, connect all the dots, bring the people that can talk to the issues for any issues that any of the branches need to look at. Now, Honorable Mail, on Pakistan specifically, it was not an issue that looks at the Pakistani migration. There are dynamics really that are happening within the broader context of BRICS. If you look at India, the relations with Brazil, if you look at, China. If you look at the initiative of China around the One Belt Silk Road, and the response by India in Pakistan. So the desk needed to understand those dynamics, and as we know that there will be a BRICS summit now in September, we're getting ready to understand what the dynamics are going to be and how to respond. So this roundtable was part of trying to go in and understand those dynamics and prepare ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. And, I'll try to answer the question in the form of audit findings or outcome that we envisage, and also to look at the issue of the AU in terms of assessment and subscription. But I'll start with the severance package. The severance package that we are referring to, it has to do with our missions abroad. As DG has indicated, we've got 126 missions. So each country has got its own legislation how to deal with that. So what we have then put in place as a department, we have what we call compensation plan for each mission, which clearly indicate how are we going to terminate the services and how we're going to pay the benefits. So these benefits are basically in local currency, which is in our case is foreign currency, which is majority of them in Europe, it will be in euros. In Americas, it will be in dollars. So those are the payment that we need to make. So there's no any contribution that the officials or the locally recruited staff pay like we do locally here, where we contribute to the government employees pension fund. So it is prescribed based on that in terms of the payment. So it is not payable to South African nationals. So we don't have nationals that are serving on the other side. So if I'm transferred abroad, my contract is here locally. So it's in terms of the public service and administration. So it is not based on any foreign. So whoever is posted, like heads of missions, they are posted abroad. When they terminate, their termination is here. So whatever they receive while serving abroad, it is basically cost of living adjustment. So it's not part of the determination of their severance package. So that is the first part in terms of how we calculate the severance package. In terms of the subscription check, the report that was finalized or presented in January by President of Kigali, Rwanda, it is basically a build-up of the work that started earlier. We hosted the AU summit in June from 7 to 15 of 2015. So in the declaration of that, the heads of state agreed that they should be self-reliant. So in terms one, in terms of the operations of the AU, if you look at the AU commission to say there must be operational budget. In addition, there must be programs. So which now the levy, the 0.2% is intended to finance the programs of the AU in achieving the 2063 vision. So that is the part. So the report that I referred to in terms of the assessment, it is based on the decision that was taken in 2015. So it is already in motion. It is not something that is still going to be implemented. So when we receive our assessment in January 2016, so it was already revised based on what we need to then remove the reliance on donor funding, if we can use that bit. So that is already in motion. So it is basically the 0.52% is basically an agreement that we must then pay within the 5-year period. So that is a discussion that we are having with Treasury to say what is it that we must then present to the head of mission in support of this, but something that is affordable in terms of taking into account our affordability, that we should be able to start stagger it in a 5-year period and see how we then manage that aspect. Because the issue is that at some point, it is the expectation that the AU should then have some reserves. So those are the modalities. How do we then manage that? And in terms of the governance aspect, how do we then have a process in terms of the work that we do, as we've been pushing that the Auditor General of South Africa should always be a member of the team that audits the work of the AU. So that is the long-term solution to say we need to then find a way to the National Treasury on how we deal with that. So in terms of the...
Can I ask one more question just on the AU for clarity? May I? How many South African staff are at the AU? Who pays them? Does it fall under DERCO? How many staff from South Africa work at the AU? The Addis Ababa, Ethiopia is the host country. So obviously there's an agreement there. But is the salaries now coming out of the donor funding? Where does the salary, for example, the chairperson's salary, where does it come from? If you can just give me clarity. It's fine.
Let me just complicate it a bit. In that report presented by, not on the report presented by Paul, President Kagame, in the paper that was delivered by Professor Thandeka Mukandawire. He stays now in Sweden, but he's actually from Malawi. I suspect he, out of ignorance, that he's the first person to coin the word Afrocrats. And then he makes a very important observation that over the last 40 years, France and Germany were actually in the forefront in training specific professionals to serve Europe, to run the affairs there in Brussels for the European Union. And over time, then they became known as the Eurocrats. Now, you can change political principles in any other country, but he says that the interest of Europe comes first. Now, he then says, we take our people here who have been trained in different universities in Africa. Different countries, different universities. That's what he says. He then says, we take them to be trained by the Eurocrats. He then says, they will train them to lose. Because these bureaucrats from Africa who are being trained by the Eurocrats, you see, must then become part of the people who negotiate the deals in the WTO. I was not aware that there's this kind of weakness on our part. So, you see, it is something that we must speak when Ambassador this matter raised by Professor Mukandawire, of training the people who are working in the AU, the Pan-African Parliament, SADC, so that you change the chairpersons of the commission, etc., but this is the senior managers who must know how to serve Africa, and by understanding Nalama language, because Africa is Francophone, Lusophone, Anglophone, and Arabophone. So if they don't know what you are talking about when you speak in the other language. You see. So a training layer. ARF can actually make a worthy intervention if it were to take this recommendation of Mukandawire.
We just need a proposal to ARF.
Are we cool, Mr. Linda? Are we cool, Mr.?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We couldn't agree more, and in fact that's how we are positioning the academy, to be a center of excellence around training of diplomats. And we've just put a proposal together for the ARF to start training diplomats in the continent, but also we've included CARICOM as the sixth region of the AU, but there it was for political reasons. But for diplomats in the continent, it's precisely for the reasons that you are mentioning. So the proposal has been tabled for the next sitting of the ARF to look at how do we train diplomats in the continent to start influencing them and using Agenda 2063 as the basis of our training. But fully agree with you, Chair, and we will look at what the Prof. Mukandawiri is saying and also consult with you further. Thank you, Chair.
Ma'am, funa ikhuluma ngesindo le. Mawulungisa abantu ukuthi babe sediplomat, angisho ukuthi ngabantu aba kufuneka bambe bawo bazenze imbimbi okanye babe ngontam nani besizwe. Ingxaki lapho ubalungisa njani, ufuneka ube andithi ndendlela ethile yokwenza izinto. Nawo wafaka amamele kehle lapha nje, abamele ajonge uba isizwe sakwabo sitshani. Uwenza njani apha kwena? Ungabisayikhumsha ke loo nto undikuphendule nje se ndicofana ndicofa.
If we train the diplomats, fine, the ambassadors, high commissioners, but these people stay in their country for 4 years, from that country. We have one of the bureaucrats that Mukandawiri talks about. They permanently serve Europe, Brussels. Now, if Besingabane staff, some officials, managers, permanently serving who AU, there are things that we are afraid of saying for the purpose of this meeting. But I can make an example that, for instance, let me make it anyway, controversial as it is, where you have an AU commissioner coming from one of the Francophone countries. This is very controversial, but I'm saying it anyway. The clearing house for certain things to be done is France, is Paris. Even presidents actually stay in France. They only come to their countries to deliver the State of the Nation and return them. Now, until an intervention was made about Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, this commission from Gabon tata ma decisions bahlale phezu kwawo. Now the Pan African Parliament, which is for the whole African continent, if you allow a person to be deployed ofana nalo, certain decisions will not be implemented. Hence the report that the Honorable Kalyan was talking about, it says 1,500 resolutions of the summit were never implemented. That's what the report is saying. And she talked about that. Yeah, in the Kagame report. She was talking to about that yesterday. But it's in that report. So leadership sits and it says certain things must happen. The implementers don't implement. The officials. Now, these are not the bureaucrats. These are the bureaucrats. They are not the diplomats. But Masiyo Ikotla Nangiti is in a policy conference. Assignment so Ikotla.
Just to take advantage of, it's true that, and we must be very direct, currently we don't have more than two people at the AU. The 16 that we had, that we employed during the tenure of the AU's C-chair, have had to come back home. That is the truth. But the fortunate part is that the ambassador of the AU to the EU in Brussels is our employee from the department. That's the only one. But in the reason 2 years ago, we reintroduced the cadet system, whereby we thought it would be a yearly thing where we take young students from university. And then we managed to employ about, to train 40. They are currently with the department. And we are hoping that these are some of the diplomats who can meet the minimum eligibility criteria for work in, among others, in international organizations. Now that we have ceilings and all those kinds of things, we are frustrated because we cannot continue the program in the manner we wanted. But the current ones we have, we regard them as the first line of future diplomats of the country. And we hope it can fill the gaps, because as we speak now, we are working out on identifying opportunities in international organizations, target them, and in fact, we are trying to say the secondment policy needs to be reviewed. Most importantly, South Africans don't like to go and work in Addis Ababa. They like Pretoria, Cape Town, and Johannesburg, and very few other cities. So we also want to take advantage to ensure that, based on our national interest, we cultivate the spirit of taking up that, and in such a manner that as our diplomatic academy expands, we will then be able to do exactly what the chair, Honorable Chair, is saying, that we can contribute to that together with other like-minded countries in the continent as well as institutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khadebe, you want to come back and welcome Honorable Dudley?
Comrade Chairperson, I appreciate the last input of the DG when he spoke about like-minded countries, because you cannot go and empower your enemy to come and deal with you at the end of the day. Because really, I was, when Ambassador joined, said that we're dealing with the African continent as a whole, and we'll be setting ourselves for failure, because we'll be empowering the people who be knowing our ways of doing things and come and use it against us at the MCD. So that issue of like-minded countries is very important. It's very, very important. So we cannot just use our resources to go and disarm ourselves at the end of the day.
Thank you very much. The last comments now. We should be done in the next.
Yeah, no, Chair, the last comment is on the audit.com.
Yes.
Honorable Chair, we appreciate the support and the intervention that allow us to have a better engagement with the Auditor General. So we can say we had several engagements before we conclude our fourth quarter, which we believe that engagement makes us to be closer in terms of the issues that have been problems in terms of the finalization of the audit report. And the two issues basically is the assets, heritage and movable assets. As DG has reported, the heritage asset, one of the challenging part was that in terms of the standard, the department was not able to identify heritage assets. So with the help of the expert, we've got a volume in terms of the book that clearly lists all the heritage assets that are in London. So in the engagement that we're getting in, as we've submitted our financials, is that there are no major issues. It's basically issues of clarity, which we hope that matter will be thing of the past when they give us the report on in July. Then the movable assets, as DJ has indicated, we went back and understand what is the root cause. That every mission has been saying, we've been complying with your requirement to count the assets on a quarterly basis.
then we report, we find that there are some discrepancies, inconsistencies that we were not able to clear with the Auditor General. So when we then implemented this new asset management system, it then gave us an opportunity to clear those inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. And the report that we submitted with the financial statement on 31st of May, we are confident that that will turn things around. And the engagement so far, we have not received any red alert from the Auditor General. Mm-hmm. They are quiet, because by this time they will have wanted to do some extra tests to confirm what we have done. So we believe, Honorable Chair and all members, that this time around we will then have at least a desired result in terms of the outcome that should resonate with the work that the department is doing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Sweeper?
In the event, it all depends on the AG. We thought we have done what we could for a start, mm-hmm. but we can be very certain of the future.
Yeah.
And then see, because every time you reach a certain standard, they go higher, etc. But we are very hopeful. Delays in SATPA, as we have all repeatedly emphasized, SATPA is an agency that is intended to handle our development partnership fund. However, we have an existing legislation called the ARF, in full is African Renaissance Fund International Fund, ARF. SATPA has been established as an agency through a proclamation gazetted as an organizational component in terms of the Public Service Act. However, for it to administer, there has to be a partnership fund, which in this case means we need to repeal the ARF with a bill called the South African Partnership Fund. What? Yes. We had had a deadlock with Treasury. We have had a deadlock with Treasury for over 4 years. The bill was at Cabinet, stalled there because of one thing. Concurrence. Our submission was that given the advent of the PFMA, accountability cannot be shared. If you allocate funds to us, or we are responsible for administering funds, the buck stops with us in that capacity. When there is another player, then there is a problem. We agree in that. But Treasury didn't see it in that way. They believed in what is currently the case with the ARF. So they didn't agree with us. We were hoping that we will find a common ground, take the bill back to Cabinet, either with disagreement, because at the end of the day, the laws are not made by the executive. They are made by Parliament, so that it can see its light of day in the Cabinet process, and then it be processed in Parliament. Whatever outcome there is about it will then be decided. Once that bill becomes law, then the ARF will go and it will then become a partnership fund. In the meantime, however, we thought we can operationalize, we can work on modalities to operationalize SATPA to administer, to maybe to serve as the ARF secretariat in the manner that we thought it could, provided that we can agree with Treasury, DPSA, and ourselves, because for it to have happened, to happen, these three departments need to agree as the public. DPSA is the custodian of the Public Service Act, in which components are administered, and Treasury deals with entities. And when the current Act says ARF is a public entity, there was no legislative modality to say what form must it take. That's why the secretariat is basically an above establishment mechanism in DERCO, which is actually taking it is funded from our budget, because the ARF fund is meant for disbursements, as we say. So in that act, there was no any institutional framework that was worked out to say this is how it will be in order for it to fully be a public entity in the manner it is intended. So those are the technical problems that are preventing us from moving on with the operationalization. But if we were to take the modality of the GPAA, which administers the GPF, the pension fund, it can still work that you have an agency that administers a fund as a juristic person there. So in which case, it wouldn't be a difficulty. In that way, there will be a full complement and with required resources. Because if we were to add more bodies and responsibilities on the secretariat, we'll go by far beyond our own ceiling, which we are still unable to service as of the moment. So we were overtaken by the constraints on our budget. I think the majority of the questions were answered, including the matter of the international conference on the Great Lakes region, which actually is a matter that we wanted to report that there was an agreement in July 2014. The first ICGLR summit was here in South Africa in 2013. The next year it went to Angola. It is at that meeting that SADC ICGLR summit directed the two secretariats to harmonize and synergize their work in monitoring and evaluating peace and security, as well as to establish a mechanism of ministers of defense and foreign affairs come international relations to meet 6 monthly. So this has not happened, and as a result, people will say if it was to be given to South Africa to lead, it would have already taken place. But we don't ask for that mandate in any way. Thank you, honorable members.
Perhaps I should request the... you want to come in, honorable Kai? No, but I was just making something as a way forward. To that, sir, let's write to the department and request them to educate us on the partnership bill, fund or fund bill. Even if there's lack of progress, it has stalled in cabinet. But under my chairpersonship, I was never ever cited about that bill, what it says and everything else. Mm-hmm. From 2014, we've never discussed that. Let's get into that. Whatever happens, at least let's be educated, because it is part of our area of work. There were hands, yala mamu Kenya no babu hade. But say say vala on this matter, ne?
I have a question that I don't think it was answered. The question of public works vendor Deco on the issue of paying those empty chanceries.
Katebe?
Chairperson, on the issue of SAPA, I think that the department sees that it has reached a stone wall. But I think the DG was correct that the issue of creating a legislation is a mandate of parliament. Once it comes to the portfolio committee, that become Alpha and Omega. But I suggest climb down wherever you are, climb down. It will be sorted in the PC.
The question of Honorable Kenya.
Yeah, thank you, Shana. Sorry for missing that important question. The properties that we are referring to, the property that were transferred to the department in 1994. So the standard required to recognize whatever money that you spend on a property that you are not occupying as wasteful and fruitless. And we are talking about the money that we spend for payment of rates and taxes, that if we own a property in Bonn, then we need to pay our rates and taxes for that. So now the challenge that we've been discussing, as we referred to our property strategy, we're saying, because we've been struggling with public works to come on board to dispose, which we are not winning. We say, no, well, if that is the case, as we are preparing for the Foreign Service Bill, which is, there's a provision there in terms of removable property, which we want to then, that function, be managed from our side. And the reason being is that any property that is not occupied, we want to then lease that out so that we wait for the whatever final decision. And if that property, that provision is transferred to us from a Foreign Service Bill, unlike the current scenario, which we only have the mandate to acquire and maintain, but we don't have the mandate to dispose. That is where we have, in terms of the legislation, we don't have that mandate. Hence, we are sitting with this property. So we're saying, when we have that mandate, we want to then dispose, but we have properties that we need to maintain, so that we use those proceeds to maintain the property that we own. So that is the part that we are moving towards, but it's taking long. But that is our strategy, to say, as soon as all the legislative framework are on board, we'll be able to then move with the speed that is required. But we continue to engage public works in terms of how we should then move forward. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Now we will be getting into matters. Thank you very much. Honorable Dudley, you didn't have a comment. It's fine. We are now getting into issues that were added into our agenda, and the first one was the committee program. So, sorry. Honorable Kalia asked us about the committee program to the end of this term. Did you refer to the year or refer to the yes? Was it sent to the members?
Yes, sir. It was distributed to members, I think, 2 weeks ago, sir.
I saw it.
And yes, sir. So I'm not quite sure what clarity Honorable Kalian is seeking with regards to the program.
Do you have it, Honorable Kalian?
Can I talk to that?
Yeah.
So I know that next week there's only one sitting, that's a three-line work next Thursday, because the President is answering questions, and then the Wednesday our committee is sitting. So, but if you look at the program that's distributed, it says briefing by the Department on its performance and the ARF fund, and we've just had that now. Look at it, look at Balo.
That's right.
And then now the 28 is committee, only committees. What I need is confirmation that we are actually having that particular meeting. That's a briefing by the Department on the Malabo Protocol, and then the input by the Department of Public Works on the Foreign Service Bill. The reason I ask, because if we finish on the 22nd, which is when the President answers questions, and we go away and you decide, no, on the 28th we are not sitting because the Public Works is not available to do that, it impacts on our travel arrangements, it impacts on our parking at the airport, as I explained to Libabalo. These are technicalities, and maybe we shouldn't be discussing it here, but it's relevant, because if I park my car there at the air, let's say for argument's sake, I put my car in the parking on the 22nd or at the airport, and the Public Works Department decides they're not coming, and we decide we're not having a meeting on the 28th, it means I have to fly back just to release my car. So all I needed was confirmation that the program on the 28th is going ahead. And why is it now that the next week's program is reflecting what we've done today? And then the third thing is, very seldom is the international relations on the Zed list. Why? if we have a program, why is it not reflected on the set list? Because many of us look at the set list to see what's happening. I don't know, although I'm officially on this committee, I look at the set list to see what other committees are doing, and if I'm interested, I go there. Likewise, if we're not reflected on the set list, other people who are interested in our committee may not come here, because they don't know what we're discussing.
So, sir, except for one clarity which I must bring, that committee-based programs are quite often impacted upon by decisions of the programming committee. It was, it's chaired by the speaker. So sometimes items are either removed or they are smuggled in. For instance, the question of answering questions today by the deputy president has been overtaken by the deployment of the deputy president to Naisna, whose government must go and deal with the crisis that has emerged there. And I happened to hear that from the chief whip yesterday, not as a report, but he was talking to somebody else about the answering of the questions. You see, this final analysis. So those will happen to committees from time to time. Honourable Dudley.
Because I've just come from the Chief Whip's Forum, thought you would be interested to know that it's fine. Naisna has to wait for us to finish our question time and then he'll be in Naisna. So the Chief Whip managed to convince him that Parliament's program is actually
important. Okay. 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 No, that's fine. So why is that list going to be?
May I first respond on the one of the Z-list, Chair? Chair, all our meetings have been on the Z-list since the beginning of the year, Chair, and I can print the Z-list for the honourable members. And in fact, and hence, time to time we have visitors because they could only pick up the meetings of the committee through the Z-list, no other way, Chair. And also, PMG, they are only present in meetings because they have picked up our meeting through the Z-list service. So I can print the Z-list. They are available on the Internet of Parliament. So we have achieved that, Chair. And in regards to the program, Chair, this program was the first program that I emailed to members. And then this error was picked up by my colleague, which I said, and then after that I amended the program. So this item was supposed to have been presented next week, but due to the request of South African Council on International Relations, we then, to approval, Chair, supposed to have slotted them in for next week, which we did. But now I think members printed the wrong program, Chair, which I can recirculate the correct one again. Yeah, next week, Chair, we are having the South African Council on International Relations. And then the last week, which is the 28th, we have the briefing by DECO on the Malabo Protocol, and then we'll have a second briefing by Department of Public Works on the Foreign Service Bill. Thank you, Chair.
You are asking whether it's confirmed. Well, we'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. Okay. Then there was an issue about the study tour. Honourable Dudley, is your hand up on which matter?
On the program, but I apologise, I wasn't here last week, so I was ill. But I picked up a discrepancy. That invitation for the delegation from Israel, they're only here on the 16th and 17th, so the 16th would be the date, and I think the feedback I got was a different date that was mentioned in the committee. So if I can just ask the administrative staff just to correct the date there. They're only here on the 16th and 17th, so that would put us on the
August.
Wednesday, the 16th August. Yes.
No, the mistake was made by the chairperson, and somewhere in the office, the executive assistant secretary sitting there, then alerted me to
to that mistake that I announced that they are coming 16 and 17 July. Yeah, the members of parliament from Israel. It's August, it's not July.
So it's confirmed for the 16th?
Hmm?
Is it confirmed for the 16th of August?
No. They have requested, you see the word confirm, they have requested to come and meet the committee in a letter written to the speaker and to the committee that when they are here from 14 to 16 August, on the 16th or the 17th, they want to have a discussion with the committee. Now, I then said July instead of August. Okay, okay, we are now done with this one. The study tour?
Last week on Friday, Chair, a letter Chair was sent to DELCO to requesting assistance with securing appointments with Canada, India, and China, and also requested assistance with quotations. And Chair, in the letter, I emphasize that there should be no relationship between securing appointments and quotations, because now we are running out of time in applying, you know, the Speaker's office for approval. If colleagues can just tell us, this is how much it costs for accommodation, how much for ground transport and other services. So, Chair, today we haven't had any response with regards to that. Thank you, sir.
And last week, I actually requested the DG to run with the matter personally. And I have a letter from Honorable Frolic who was saying, okay, you're not able to go to Germany, give me another application. So orally, I said to him, I can't just give you an application that says China, but what are the costs? You see, so, and if we close next week, this thing's not being done. We're going to have a problem. So, among us responded as you would. Any of these countries, because is their programs. For instance, the program, as you say, this time can't receive us. Now, it may well be that one of these countries, Canada, India, China, cannot in terms of their parliamentary programs. So, it's speed it up. And if we've got permanent ambassadors, missions there. Yeah, so let's hear you.
Honorable members, we just have to apologize. Last week we were facing a very serious industrial election, and part of the results of that was that the majority of our employees are working in the ICT environment. That has set a result of us having serious problems of connectivity, which we are still investigating what's the problem. I do know that the people tasked with that, they did send me an SMS. I just couldn't talk to them before I do now, that they acknowledged the fact that their emails were bouncing, which is our main communication tool. Immediately, we knock off here. In fact, while we are here, we will check with them, because we were quite aware that we were going to come here and the question will arise. We hoped we will resolve it before we come here. So while we are overcoming our connectivity, but that has really led to delays. We only managed to interdict the strike on Thursday, and which brought us to some kind of normalcy. And then between Friday and today, I'm sure we couldn't do any overcome that. We will immediately now talk to them, because we feel there must have been improvements. We really apologize for the inconvenience caused, but we'll work around it to ensure that it is done and done as soon as possible. We'll ask the director there to liaise directly with the committee secretariat to fast-track that.
It's a good answer, but not good enough. You told me that you might have to, that you had the strike, and you might have to do any you might have to interdict them last week. Now, I'm saying the answer is good, but not good enough. At what level are you communicating with the embassy on this matter? Is it through your sister, who is a member of PSA or NEHAU, and NEHAU is on strike? Is it or is it yourself? And it's when I will go on strike. You do the email or you do something, or your DCGs, who's responsible for these branches, Omunye China, Omunye India, Trabelo, China and India is one branch, then Omunye Canada. Those are the levels. Then they communicate to the ambassador. And then that's Tolela Lendole. It's urgent because we only have next week.
Yeah.
Then I sign, then we put it in then so that we can put these things into the application, and then I send it to Honorable Frolic. Then we tell the members the dates of traveling, the country, the number of days. Then they make our preparations bill. They also belong to parties, they belong to constituency offices, etc. Then there are our preparations.
Some of the information could be there, but has not reached here. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't mean that nothing has been done,
mm-hmm.
but there was serious, including even these presentations we are talking about. So
okay, yeah.
We will make sure that today and the latest tomorrow, everything gets to, if it is not, it is not already in the pipeline. So immediately we get out of here, we will communicate with the people that were tasked to do that, and there will be progress, I believe.
Please communicate directly between today and Friday on progress to the secretary and to myself. Let me know with Gwenzegan. See, Bambela. Thank you. Seems to have been the very last matter, the committee program, the study tour, and the visit by the Israeli MPs. So matters are put paid to, in my view. And on that note, we want to thank the honorable members for their worthy contribution, and the officials from DERCO and our visitors. Thank you very much. Honorable Hadebe, you wanted to make an announcement?
Chairperson, I request the members of the NC to remain behind. Something of national importance must be discussed.
That's the problem with the whips. They like whipping. The meeting is adjourned.